Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's your boy Sacrifice. The wait is finally over. It's getting hot in here. I'm burning, baby. Come on, man. Stand up, everybody. Feel me. CPR in the building. Short Fire Music Group in the building. This ain't a fucking game no more, man. Sacrifice. Yeah. Cardiac, where you at? Kid Magic. Tragic knowledge, Sisu, Santo, what's up? Walk with me, feel what I gotta say. From the moment I was born, I was destined for greatness. Learned a lesson through these weapons with the test of my hatred. Learned the block, earned my spot, I was hustling hard. Never stop. Fuck the cops, I put my trust in my squad. It's Sacrifice, yeah. I'm the key to the streets, I'm like the heart. Yeah, it's your boy Sacrifice.
Well, good evening. Welcome. That was not the right song that I wanted to put on there, but that's okay. We still got you pumped up. We got you woken up, and we're here to show you that we, as ordinary people, can definitely make a difference in life. We can make things happen, and we're the Shakers and Quakers. For those of you who have no clue who I am, I'm Charlie Alejandro, and I am the author of OrdinaryWoman.com, the blog. Yes, I know, and it's so amazing because everything I write about, believe it or not, has happened. It's because of the fact that I have an amazing family, and as a matter of fact, I think I have one of them on here with me now. Let me see if we can find them. We're new to this here. Are you there?
Hello, yes, yes, I'm here. I'm always here.
That's awesome. This is actually my son, Alex Arahita, and we figured we could have him on the show as well today to get you a little bit interested in what our family is about. Alex, what have you been up to lately?
Working. A lot of working. Working and saving. That's pretty much the life that most people live. But, you know, in the same time, we all want to kind of get out of the little ruts that we get into with doing our 40 hours and having to worry about bills and pay. So, you know, hopefully some people get to relax and get on cyberspace sometimes and kind of forget about the worries and stress that the life brings with us. So that's what I try to do.
Now, that sounds kind of cool. Now, the main thing about our concept is that we want you out there in cyberspace, in the United States, in the state of Massachusetts. Let's see, who else we got? We got Philly, we got Utah, we got Florida. Where else we got family? We're like spread all over creation, aren't we? What we want you guys to think is get out of the rut of, oh, I wish I was Angelina Jolie, I wish I was Brad Pitt. Forget all that. You have to think about the fact that you are amazing. You are an average person, yes, but you do amazing things with how you talk to people, how you treat them, what you do in your community, in your family, in your life. And we're here to make sure that you realize that, and that's what it's all going to be about. So we're going to back it up a little bit. We're going to introduce you a little bit to what we're about. As I said, if you've never read my blog, shame on you. www.ordinarywoman, and it's spelled WMN.com. And you'll get in there and you'll see some interesting stories about stuff that has happened in our family and in our life and how we've been able to turn ordinary things into quite some crazy things. Right, Alex?
Very crazy things. A lot of crazy things. Our family, I tell you, like, our family, we're very big, very family-oriented. We're all about family. Family comes first with us. But, yeah, we on the outside, we look like ordinary people, but on the inside, we're very far from it. And just like most people, a lot of strange and fun things happen to us. And you just got, like Charlie said, you learn from it. You learn from every little thing. And then I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, no matter how negative or positive. You just gotta keep going with the punches. You gotta roll with them. You can't let every little tiny thing get you down. You can't stress stuff. And I don't know. You just gotta, you know, like I said, just stay with it. Stay with the grind and keep pushing forward to whatever your life goals or lack thereof may be. I mean, some people, you know, they're content with staying in their old, you know, doing their 40 hours and living in their house with the white picket fence and the dog. But, you know, other people have bigger aspirations than that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with thinking big and trying to push forward.
Absolutely. Now, real quick, if you're interested in calling in, if you have any questions for us, any comments, our number is 347-989-1473. The number again is 347 989-1473. We also have a chat thing going on here that actually you can come into our show. We start a chat. If you go to blogtalkradio.com and then you look for Ordinary Woman, O-R-D-I-N-A-R-Y-W-M-N, and just look for our chat room and come in there, and we'll start a chat going as well. If you have any questions for us or any concerns or anything, just come on down and talk to us either on the phone or on chat. So what I want to do is, I know a lot of times, Alex, when you tell people about your family, you usually look at you like what?
Well, when I was talking about my family?
Mm-hmm.
The main thing I tell everybody when they ask, like, about our family, number one, I tell them that we are a big family and that we're crazy. That's the best way I can say that there's not a normal, sane person in our family. But it's a good thing because if not, you know, I mean, I just think that it would be boring. I mean, life isn't meant to be boring. It's supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to, you know, get you going and you know, you can't just dwell on every little thing. So I think with our family, the fact that we are very crazy, we do get along very well with everybody, that it adds that excitement to our lives and doesn't get us stuck in that same old, just that same old little thing, you know. I just feel like, yeah, our family's definitely outgoing, very talented. We have family all over the country, like Charlie was saying earlier. So I lived in Miami for about 2.5, almost 3 years. Left Miami, went to Philadelphia for 6 months, trying to be closer to my nephew. And now I'm back in the great old state of Massachusetts. And unfortunately, I got to be honest with you guys out there. I don't know if any of you guys live in cold areas, but I was born and raised in Massachusetts my whole life. But living in Miami for 2.5, 3 years, I'm telling you, it's only September, and I'm freezing my butt off here. Like, and it's the coldest. Seriously, I mean, I think the coldest it's got so far is like 40.
This from a man who's walking around in a T-shirt. Okay, yeah. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. But, you know, I love Massachusetts. I love being back home, back around the family. And that's the main reason, honestly, why I came back, you know, trying to be close to the family. You know, living out in Miami, being on your own, it's always good because you kind of get to grow on your own. You get to find yourself, you know, as a person, as an individual. But at the same time, it's all where home is, where the heart is. It all comes back to the family. And that's how our family's been. We've always been that way.
Yeah, and it's funny because one of the things, like right now, you've probably been listening to the last few minutes going, okay, they keep talking about their family. They say they're crazy. But what is unique about our family? What do you think makes it unique? Should we give them some background? Should we tell them the Reader's Digest version or get deep into it? Or what do you think it is about our family that we should share with our listeners?
Well, I mean, I don't want to go too far back and give us like a whole...
like the dinosaurs world here.
I don't want to give you the genealogy because then you guys will be bored and we'll never tune in again. But but basically, like our family, we're from, well, myself, I'm from originally, you know, from Costa Rican, El Salvadorian descent. My real father is from El Salvador, and my mother's from Costa Rica. When I was about, I don't know, I was 12 maybe, my parents got divorced, like most, you know, American families. You know, it doesn't work, there's no harm in that. My mother remarried a little bit after that, a couple years after that. My stepfather, who I consider my father now, is from Puerto Rican descent. Himself, he had 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. My mother had 4 boys. So combined, yeah, we consider ourselves the Latin Brady Bunch, the real Latin Brady Bunch.
We actually picked up a couple for our inflation, huh?
Yeah, the youngest one in curls, kind of. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I just think like most American families, there is trials and tribulations because normally there's immune to that when it comes to life. And I just think that like with us, that makes us no better, no worse than any other family, just unique. I would have to definitely say that our ability and want to strive for bigger and better things. I mean, like most families do, most people do, but I think with us, like we just have, it's like, I don't know, I guess it's like kind of like a rash that we have. It's like just lingering around that we got to keep itching that to the it just keeps gnacking at us, just keeps getting at us, like a little gnat flying around, and then we can't just settle. We're never content. We always want that bigger and better thing. And not to sound greedy, not to be, you know, shallow, whatever it may be. Some people might consider it something like a negative thing, but with us, it's just we always want that bigger thing. Like, we're never content with, you know, just doing the 40 hours or whatever it may have you. You know, we're very athletic, very talented. With our family, we're blessed with very different talents and abilities.
Now, what are some of the things that you've noticed different about our family that we've been able to do? Now, you mentioned that we have a lot of athletes in our family, and now do we talk about average athletes, or what are you referring to when you talk about we have athletes? I mean, most families do. What's the big deal?
Well, with our family, once again, not to sound conceited or overconfident, it's just, you know, we are the type of family where we have a natural athletic ability where we can play in any sport and not necessarily be superstars in it, but we can excel. Each of us as individuals do have our number one main sport that we do play. Like myself was soccer. I played soccer my whole life. I played at the semi-pro level. I tried out for professional teams. I've coached at the high school level, even at the youth soccer level, boys and girls varsity. So, I mean, I pretty much, that was my main sport. I have one who lives in Philadelphia. His main sport was basketball. He always excelled in that. He played over in Costa Rica for a while over there at an academy down there. I have another brother, he excels in baseball. He's a big baseball player. He's very, very talented. He plays for Suffolk University right now in Boston.
What? Suffolk University Rams. There we go, in the house.
Yeah. So he's doing his thing over there in the classroom as well as outside on the field. I have my sisters. They all excelled in softball and soccer as well. They're all stars on their own teams, captains as well. But another younger brother, my youngest brother, he's doing his thing at Lowell Catholic High School. He's a junior now. He's playing soccer over there. He's captain, definitely doing his thing. They're 4 games into it. I think he already has like 3 goals and like 5 assists, something like that. So he's definitely doing his thing over there. And like I said, like we could, if you take my brother that's naturally gifted in baseball, the one who plays at Suffolk, if you take him and you put him, let's say, I don't know, on a volleyball court, I'm not telling you he's going to be a superstar, but I guarantee you he will, you know, do his thing. He will accelerate as, you know, as a an average or above average player. Same thing with me. Like, my main sport is soccer, but, I mean, you know, I'm fairly well at baseball and as well as basketball, fairly decent. So, I mean, we just have that natural gift where, like most families, I'm sure if LeBron James had brothers and sisters, I'm sure like they'd be naturally gifted as well as Michael Jordan's kids. And past classmate of mine, he's Patrick Ewing's stepson, and I've met Patrick Ewing Jr. And he's like 5-6 years younger than me, but the kid towers over me, and he's that disgusting at basketball. I mean, he's just an anomaly, and that just goes to show good genes, good, you know, good abilities. People. I guess you adapt to your environment, whatever you're around, to kind of, not necessarily to say that you have a parent like shoving down that sport down your throat, but, you know, you're around it more. You kind of just like a chameleon, you adapt to it and you naturally take to it.
Now, when you talk about your brothers, you have how many brothers?
I have 6 brothers.
You have 6 brothers, and you have how many sisters?
I have 2 sisters. I have 2 older brothers, 2 younger brothers, and 2 younger sisters.
Younger. Wait, that means you're missing a few.
Well,
you lost a couple in the trenches. What happened?
there's 8 of us all together. I'll go down line. Derek, aka Cardiac. He's
now what's that with the aka Cardiac? Is he like a secret spy or something? Or what's up with the alias?
Yeah, he works with the CIA. If I say anything else,
he just got fired because we told him that he works with the CIA.
Yeah, no, he's an inspiring rapper. He's doing his things locally in Boston right now. He's been all through New England. We're trying to venture him further out. Like when I was in Miami, I was trying to market him out there. We tried marketing him out in Utah, Las Vegas, around everywhere. So we got family everywhere. So.
And actually, the clip we played at the beginning was actually him and who else is in there?
That was actually my other brother, Eric, a.k.a. Sacrifice. He's the one who lives in Philadelphia. They've been doing the rap thing for a while, and like in any industry, whether it's, you know, music or entertainment, acting as well, it's a dime a dozen. Everybody and their mother wants to be an actor or
hey,
it's true,
but it, now.
It's all about, you know, being on that grind and just sticking to your guns and being able to, you know, not letting the whole overwhelming of all, you know, there's so many actors, there's so many rappers out there that, you know, you just got to strive for it. If that's your goal, if that's what you want, then, hey, go for it. Go for the gusto. And nobody can tell you that you can't do it. I can't, so you shouldn't be able to.
Once again, real quick, if you're interested in calling, the number is 347-989-1473. And you can call us in, or you can log into our chat at Ordinary Woman, WMN. And that is at blog. Wait a minute, where are we? Where are we? I'm lost. It's blogtalkradio.com. So just go to blogtalkradio.com, and then you'll be able to look for Ordinary Woman, WMN, and come on to our chat. And again, the number 347-989-1473. So we have Cardiac and we have Sacrifice. They're both rappers. What do we got after that?
Ben would be me.
Now, what is some of the stuff you've done? You told us you played soccer, you coached, you're in Miami, you're in Philly. Did the child support catch up with you? No, I'm kidding. I know you don't have any kids.
not that I know about
you
me.
You move around so much. You're like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah,
like a Rolling Stone over there.
Miami's that nightlife. You very easily get caught up in it. So I mean, I don't think I haven't had any women coming knocking on my door saying, "Oh, this one's yours."
Thank goodness.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
but you're a good boy. Make sure you stay and be a good boy.
I try. I mean, that's why my nickname, my brother gave me that nickname, Santo, which is means saint in Spanish. Because I don't know, I've always tried to do what's right, but couldn't necessarily say I always have, but...
I got a little fork in the roads over there.
But
you went to Little Catholic, you said, and
yes.
What did you do when you were there?
Skip school a lot.
Not the answer we were looking for.
I went to Little Catholic many, many moons ago. I graduated class of 2000. The classes we took, we were a college preparatory. When I went, they were an up and coming program. Now that my brothers are going there, it's better now. They've gotten bigger. They have a lot more sponsors, a lot more donations getting in there. People. It is one of the smallest schools out here in Lowell, Massachusetts, aka the Mill City. It is true. They do teach you and they prep you to the bigger and better things of life.
Now, I remember you were actually one of the first that was actually on the Mayor's Youth Commission. What was that?
The Mayor's Youth Commission that they did in Lowell. They took, I believe it was two or three students from every school in Lowell. So it was the Lowell High, LaVogue. Lowell Catholic as well, and they selected two to three individuals that excelled athletically and academically to be a part of the Mayor's Youth Commission that would give the city of Lowell a youth's perspective of what we feel needs to be done or could be done to help out the youth in Lowell. I was selected as one of them, along with a couple other students from my school.
Now, you wind up going to Philly as part of that program. What was that all about?
Yeah, what they did was, I guess every year, the country, I guess you could say, holds a competition. It's called the All American City Competition, and what they do is they select 30 cities throughout the country. So out of every city, major city, not even major city, small cities as well, throughout the country, they take 30. You go down to whatever the selected competition city is at that time. Back in, I believe it was 96 or 97.
99.
Oh, there you go. 99, it was Philadelphia at the time, so we went down, and what they do is they select, in no particular order, they take 10 out of those 30 cities to be considered All-American cities, and you get to keep that title for 5 years, and then you have to kind of recycle it.
Now, I heard that you actually got your face in the paper, like front page, but no one knew it was you. Why?
Yeah, I am.
Undercover brother over here.
When I was younger, I was, and even so now, I'm a very animated, outgoing person. I don't get embarrassed.
No, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get embarrassed easily. Things like that don't bother me. But I was a mascot in our presentation that we had to do. And
now, what was the mascot's name and what was the affiliation with the mascot?
Well, the mascot actually was, by looking at it, it's an alligator. But here in Lowell, it's called the Canaligator because Lowell is
Canaligator.
Filled. Yeah.
Just to show you what our canals look like.
Lowell,
no, they're kind of cool, but the water kind of like, you're like, oh, yeah, definitely. A Canaligator could have came out of it.
Yeah, you definitely can't see to the bottom of it. Yeah, Lowell's filled with canals because it's you know, the mills that were here during the industrial times. So there's always canals because they were run by hydropower. But yeah, so the Canaligator actually is the mascot for the New York Penn League team that Lowell has out here, which is an affiliate for the Red Sox, which is the Lowell Spinners. Don't ask me what a spinner has to do with a Canaligator. I don't know. But.
Well, actually, they're talking about the spinner they used to use in the mills
for people.
But yeah, I have no idea what it has to do with the Canaligator.
Yeah, because you know, alligators like the needle and thread all the time. So I mean,
he's a sewing fall. That's why they did it. Now, the spinners are affiliated with who?
The Boston Red Sox, yeah.
Okay,
they're
like their minor league short season.
Right. They're the ones that are under, so it'd be the Red Sox, and under the Red Sox are the Pawtucket Red Sox, and then underneath that would be the Lowell Spinners. So, and they all, like, they're farm teams. They build up young local talent to see if they can get into the Red Sox. Actually, one that most people from Boston would know that plays for the Red Sox right now, Jed Lowry. He played for the Lowell Spinners as well, I believe. I'm not sure. There's been a couple other ones that have played for the Spinners that have moved up into the big leagues.
Yeah, we've actually Jacoby.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jacoby did, too.
The other thing, too, people don't realize, the Webbers, I know Mrs. Weber, she passed away a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer from cancer, but they were just amazing people with the community, with the support. As a matter of fact, their team has the record. I think they've been sold out, 10 years in a row? Because they just put on an amazing show. It's a fun time to, I'm putting in a plug for the city of Lowell, and I'm not even getting paid for it. But the reality is, folks, it's a great time, right? Short money. It's a fun time with the kids and the family and some really good baseball. So they were supporting the community, and you wind up being the mascot for the All-America City competition?
Yeah. What I did, basically, I sweated my butt off for the 15-minute presentation we put in front of all the judges. But, yeah, so I just, you know, acted a fool. That's what mascots do. You kind of get the crowd up and going, and you just kind of, you know, clown around. But I guess apart from the presentation and me acting a fool, it did get Lowell to be an All-American, one of the 10 All-American cities that year in 99. So, I mean, definitely put Lowell on the map. And even now, I mean, Lowell's starting to – I mean, when I left back in 06, when I went to Miami, Lowell had a lot of, like, little hole-in-the-wall bars and where you'd only see the typical, you know, the town drunk, you know, guys there every weekend, every night.
Probably one of your uncles was up in there, too.
Probably. But
not that you would know about those places
out
in there.
Not at all. I'm a good guy. But I mean, now that I'm back and I'm starting to see like these same old little local rinky-dink bars that when I left, and now they're trying to make Lowell kind of a obviously Lowell will never be like a Miami or a Boston or a, you know, downtown New York, you know, of course, but they're trying to make Lowell, you know, into like a little night spot. Just to try to give, you know, the college students something to, you know, get their mind off the studies and stuff for a little bit. And you know, you can go to the Lowell Brewery, plug. You can go to the Gaelic Club. I mean, there's plenty of spots there.
The funny thing is, none of these people know we're plugging them, and we're like talking about them over here, right?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just hoping if I say something about the brewery this Saturday, they'll let me in. No cover charge.
Yeah, right. I hope we don't get sued for mentioning their names for no reason. Or like the Red Sox will be like, hello, stop mentioning us on that show, please.
Right. Just trying to help you guys out. Just the little guys, you know.
Yeah, Rev Dog, just the little guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, and the funny thing is then the day after we wind up walking, sightseeing, and who happens to be in the front page, larger than life in color, of the local Philly paper. And it was you with the crowd and as Mr. Canaligator over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. That was good. It was fun. Once again, yeah, nobody knew who the heck it was. They just saw some furry green alligator looking thing with a baseball hat on, and they're like, oh, let's get some pictures. So a lot of the locals, like random people that were in the street, they jumped on me to get the picture in the local paper there. I believe it's the.
You were a celebrity and nobody knew it. That's kind of bittersweet, huh?
Yeah. It's like it's the way it's always been, a celebrity in my own eyes, and no one will know.
Celebrity in your own mind, yeah. Well, yeah. As long as you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's you, and then who else after you?
Underneath me would be my sister, Christina.
Now what's she up to?
I saw her the other day for the first time in a while. I haven't seen her in a little bit. She's busy in her own world. She works in Boston, downtown Boston, Downtown Crossing. She works at Guess. Plug.
There we go, another plug, right?
As she's a sales manager over there, so she's been doing that for a while.
Over on Newbury Street, so go visit her, she'll take care of you. Now, your Christina, your sister, right, is like, what, maybe, she swears she's 5 feet, so we'll give her the 5 feet so she doesn't beat us up because she's just wicked strong, but what are some of her things that she did that she blew people's mind with her size?
She's played softball. I remember in high school she was a freshman when I was a senior, and she walked on to the varsity softball team. She did basketball as well. She was varsity basketball. She also played in college. She played at Salem State. Salem State College. She did softball.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, her senior year of high school, she was a Lowell Sun Plug All Star, and her batting average was .649.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yeah, no, she definitely excelled, and like I said again, not to be conceited, but yeah, our family, we have a natural act for athletics, I guess, academics.
Yeah. Oh, we got a couple of those. Speak for yourself.
Yeah,
we got a couple of those.
It's
we got Kristen Jesse holding up that end of the line. So
yeah.
Now
yeah.
The other thing with Christina was she actually played baseball. She actually had a tryout for the Babe Ruth League. She got selected in the, fourth or fifth draft. And she actually got to play baseball with her brother. So her brother was, shortstop, and she was second?
Yeah,
it just blew people's mind because she was tiny, 5 feet. I mean, and these were all guys, 16 to 18 years old, and it blew their mind when they saw this tiny little girl that would just catch the heck, throw like any of them. And, it kind of blew people's mind a lot.
And it's funny too, because I'm not to be sexist, but I'm all for. I am all for equality, and women's sports, but I have never been a fan of co-ed sports. But if the woman can excel and hang with guys, and even some in my sister's case, some play better than some of the guys, then yeah, by all means, sure, throw them in there because. Sometimes the competition in their league might not be as strong and as tough as in another league. So why are you gonna bury their talent and put them somewhere else so they can excel and progress even more? And my sister was one of those. She could bang with the best of them. She could play with the guys, play with the girls, and still
play basketball too.
Yeah.
She was on the basketball team.
She played basketball.
Yeah, the funny thing, she didn't start playing till seventh grade for basketball.
Yeah.
And soccer, you talked her into playing soccer, her sophomore year?
Freshman year.
And by the time she was a junior, she was tied in Massachusetts for what was it, 21 goals, 23 assists? She was in third place or second place, leading scorer in her league.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely she's doing her own thing. Now, who's after her?
After her would be... Oh, Jose. Jose, actually, he's the one that plays baseball. He goes to Suffolk University. He actually lived in Miami with me, him and Christina. They went to Barry University down there. He decided to transfer back up here so he could get a starting position with Suffolk. So he's one of the other ones. He can play basketball. He can play baseball. Baseball is his number one sport, and that's what he's trying to pursue. Him himself. He's had numerous amount of professional team tryouts. I believe he tried out for the Rays.
He actually made, the final cut with the Rays, but then they signed up the pitcher instead of him.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I better see you back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is, too, the first year he was at Suffolk University at the tournament, he was player of the series. because he played, I think, was his second or shortstop. I'm not sure of position, but he did good with his batting average and all that stuff. So he's doing his own thing as far now. Another thing with Jose was he was actually 13 when he was picked up into Legion Baseball.
Yeah.
And then I guess by 14, he actually made the actual team, because if he stayed on the taxi squad, any other team could have picked him up. So what are some of the other things that your brother does besides baseball?
He's going to school. He's going to school full time. He's a communications major.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. He's always said, because, I mean, people out there, you got to understand, like, if you have all the talent in the world, like, look at, like, a LeBron James or Greg Oden, for a perfect example. Greg Oden, he came, was number one draft pick last year, and then what happened in preseason? He ended up messing up his knee, and he had to miss his whole first, his rookie season. So you always want to do, you always want to have a backup plan.
A backup plan, yeah.
Or a contingency. You always want to have something there to kind of fall back on. Because, I mean, we all dream of, you know, we all want to have that, the high life of the, you know, the professional athlete, or, you know, in that professional actor or whatever it may be. But you always want to have something to fall back. And my brother, he's going to school to be a communications major. So he wants to get into broadcasting if the baseball thing doesn't pan out for him like he planned. So he can do, you know, still stay in the whole baseball and sports world so he can, you know, maybe commentate some games, you know, do college level, you know, high school, whatever, and then build his way up. And then that way, once you have that degree and once you have that piece of paper in your hand, you know, plenty more doors open up for you.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to have that college degree. That's important. Now, after Jose, who comes next?
After Jose would be Chris.
Mm-hmm. And what's he doing?
A whole lot of nothing.
Wow! Chris, you just got put on the spot. Wow, just throw him under the bus. Now, what is he doing?
He, like myself, was a late bloomer. He kind of came out of high school and, you know, tried to have it fun first.
Back it up a little. When he was in high school, he actually got a scholarship to go where?
He went to UNLV. He was in Vegas for a while. For whatever reasons, you know, that didn't pan out. And then he decided
so he went there for a year, and then he transferred where?
He went to Miami-Dade College down in Miami with me. He was there for a semester, got his grades back up a little bit, and then he transferred back home to Salem State. So
he's at Salem State now. What's he doing? What's his major?
I'm not sure exactly what you call it, but I know it's like film. Like he wants to be a director. Like he wants to work on making movies and stuff like that, writing scripts, playwrights, screenplays, stuff like that. So that's what he's focused on. He wanted to go to Emerson because Emerson has a great program over there in Boston for that film industry. But with him, he's just trying to get back on the right path.
So what he's basically doing is going to Salem State, get his portfolio and stuff, and then transfer over to Emerson.
Right.
Yeah,
he's over there. He's taking some because I've heard every director in the world, you know, from Scorsese to Spielberg, they all say the same thing. In order to be a great director, you have to be able to know what it feels to be an actor. So right now my brother, he's taking some acting classes, scene decorating classes. Like, yep. In order to know
the
director.
Oh, yeah, that's what he was saying is I'm taking classes where I'm carpentry and what did he say, and sewing classes.
Right. Yeah. He said, he's like, all I want to do is make a movie. I don't want to freaking, you know, have to sew a
okay,
hand dress.
So, yeah, you mean wardrobe and set design.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, carpentry and sewing.
but it comes with a So
I heard that, well, actually, you and your brother and a couple more people in your family were working this summer in the acting venue. What was that about?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody known this, but Massachusetts is starting to become a hub and plethora of the movie making industry. They're starting to bring a lot more, thanks to former Governor Mitt Romney. He actually signed some type of bill. I'm not sure what it was. That was
the tax incentive,
right.
Yeah, for the film industry.
So a lot of movies have been getting filmed out here. They did The Departed. They did Gone Baby Gone. They did Mystic River. And
Ride Wars, Mall Cop.
Ride Wars,
one of your
Mall
favorites.
Cop.
That's a sore spot for him with Mall Cop. He didn't mention. He actually works in private security, so he's like, no respect. But, yeah, so Mall Cop and a few more. So you got to work on what this week, this summer?
It's a Adam Sandler film, Happy Gilmore production. It's called, not a Happy Gilmore, sorry, Happy Madison production. It's called Grown Ups. I believe it'll be out in summer of 10. It's the cast is unbelievable. I mean, we were like right there with doing a movie there. It was it's Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, Kevin James, David Spade, Chris Rock, who's a funny guy in person. The most beautiful Salma Hayek was there, and Maria Bell. She's another beautiful woman and very talented. It was fun. We were like right there in the scenes, you know. I mean, we don't have any speaking lines, but you know, we're backgrounds, you know, extra work. But work is work if you get paid. So, and not only that, it's good to have the experience to be around the whole industry if that's what you want to focus on. I myself, I was also in a Judd Apatow film a few years back, Celtic Pride. It was filmed in Boston.
Yes, that's right, Celtic Pride. That's when they filmed at the old Boston Garden.
The old Garden, right before they tore it down. That was with Daniel Stern, Dan Aykroyd, and Damon Wayans. So that was another good movie as well. And now they're filming plenty more right now. They were doing Furry Vengeance, starring Brendan Fraser. They were doing that over in Topsfield. They're filming The Zookeeper, with another one with Kevin James. They're filming that at Franklin Park Zoo.
You've got The Town with Ben Affleck, yeah. Company Men with Ben Affleck also. Yeah. Wichita with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So there has been a lot. So you got the opportunity to work and get some experience in there. So who comes after Chris?
After Chris would be my sister, Jessica. She lives in Utah. She's going to school out there at Southern Utah State.
Utah University, actually.
Yeah, so she's out there. She's been doing her thing.
Now, what are some of the things that she did in her life that people would go, are you kidding me? How did you get all that stuff done and what she's doing now?
She's always sang. She has a beautiful voice. But singing with her is more or less like a hobby, just something she does on the spare time. But her number one thing.
Although, she's actually what? Featured on a couple of your brother's tracks?
She's done a few vocals, a few hooks, a.k.a. choruses, to those that don't know.
Choruses, and we'll highlight some of those in later shows. But, yeah, she has done that. And what else has she done?
Right now, she's her main number in ballroom dancing, and she's a phenomenal dancer. She's won competition.
Now, that blew people away because she was an athlete most of her life, right? She was captain of basketball, softball. She did play baseball, actually, on a championship team. She did volleyball. She did what? What else? Soccer?
Yeah, she did soccer.
And so she was an athlete. And then freshman year of college, she walked on to the team and tried out for a ballroom and got picked. And now she's on the traveling team.
Yeah, now she's definitely doing her thing. She's talented. She's won a few competitions with her partners over there in Utah. And she sent us some videos. I don't know if we can post them in later shows, but. She's definitely doing her thing. She's probably, I'd say, no offense to none of my other brothers and sisters, but she's one of the ones that definitely has a straight head on her shoulder. She knows what she wants, and she goes for it and doesn't let anybody say she can't do it. She's always had her head in the book. She has a 3.5.
We won't say always.
Right.
I think ninth grade, it's like, okay, I better get my act together. But,
But, yeah, no, she's doing her thing there. She's in her junior year in college, So, she'd be the...
So, and after her, who do we have left? I mean, it's a full house there.
The last one would be Alexi. He's actually a junior in high school. He's the one that's excelling in soccer right now. Doing his thing. He's captain for the varsity soccer team over there. He's one of the top... it's early in the season, 4 games into it, but he's definitely one of the top in the Catholic Suburban League, so over here in Lowell, in the Merrimack area. He's got his grades going good. Although we have been giving him a little bit of crap because him as a Latin American can't seem to pass Spanish class, so... We've been helping him out with that as well as, soccer. So.
Yeah, that's kind of like the family joke. You have a kid that comes from a Latin heritage, but he just can't seem to pass Spanish class. He's like, are you serious? He's like, can I take French?
I think
he might be more successful with French than the Spanish class. So you have all these people. Now, let me ask you about your parents. Of course, I'm one of them, but I'm going to be in third person here. So you guys all lived under the same roof.
Yes, unfortunately. No, it was great. It was wonderful. I love my family.
Yeah, we had an old 11-room house, and basically we were all under there in one roof, and kind of that's what bonded, and a lot of crazy experiences happened there. A lot of good times, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we, like every, you know, family, we, you know, middle American family, we argue, we fight, we get into little squabbles, but I mean, like, you know, like most, at the end of the day, you know, it's family, it's all blood, you know, puro sangre, you know, pure blood, so I mean, you just have to, you know what, you know, what's the more important things in life, you know, little arguments are petty, and, you know, that's what makes everybody grow stronger, and, you know, us growing up, you know, me and my brothers, me and myself, I was kind of a hell child growing up. The way I described, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but basically I was going to tell you I made my kindergarten teacher retire, so.
you notice how he quickly went over the fact that he made his kindergarten teacher retire after 25 years. He took an early retirement, yeah.
Yeah.
We definitely got to get back to that at a later show and tell us that story.
Yeah, it's a funny times in kindergarten. But, I mean, we just, I don't know, our family, like, we know, like I said, at the end of the day, you come home to each other. And, like, even now, like, our family, we're scattered all over the country, but yet we still, you know, keep in contact with each other. We still call each other. We still try to, you know, talk crap to each other because that's how, you know, we ourselves, you know, to our family, we kind of show our love by, you know, we're not ones to come up and give you a hug and say, oh, I love you, bro. No, I say go to hell, and you know, and don't slap them, and I'll see you at Thanksgiving, you know. So, but and we know, you know, to a man, we know that means that, you know, I love you too, you know. That's basically
man love.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that makes this ordinary extraordinary actually is the fact that you guys are a blended family, and yet when you walk anywhere or you go anywhere, the average person doesn't know who's this who. Like, is that your real brother, quote unquote, whatever that means, or is that your stepbrother, or whatever that means. It's kind of like a blend where everybody just meshes. And
right.
What do you think was the reason that you guys meshed so well? It's not because you got along so well. Is it something your parents did? Or what was it, do you think, that made you guys mesh that way?
I just think it was, like, as our own, like, the way you come up, the way you're brought up. Because, like, with us, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of a little brat when my mom.
just a little.
I mean, and like most, you know, kids are when they're 11, 12 years old, when you got new kids coming in and, like, oh, there's going to be your new brothers, you know. So it's like I was kind of like, you know, like, getting the attitude and stuff like that. But to say the least, but I mean, you kind of grow on each other. And I actually, one time, in Miami, where I live with my, you know, technically, if you want to get technical, my stepbrother and sister, but, you know, they're my brother and my sister, but, you know, someone that we went to school with or that we worked with, I forget, it was a mutual friend, actually, they were like, oh, are you guys related? We're like, yeah, we're brothers. And, you know, we're not blood related, but, you know, technically, but they were like, oh, yeah, I can see it. You guys do look alike. And it's like me and him are looking at each other like.
I get that a lot.
And it's just true. You know, you kind of adapt. And you kind of, like, when you're around each other, you pick up certain aneurysms. You pick up, you know, the way you talk, the way you walk, and the way you present yourself. So people say, oh, yeah, no, you do look like brothers. Yeah, I can tell. And it's like, you know, and me and him are looking at each other like, oh, well, wow, you know, if you only knew. But, I mean, that's how. That's how we are. You know, we always consider, like, I don't say, oh, you know, your brother or your sister or my brother. Yeah, you're my brother, you're my sister, you know, that's how it is, that's how we are.
So you attribute it just to the fact that you decided to accept each other as family, and I know this comes because I was one of the ones that refused to say stepchildren or step whatever. It was like, you know, that's your child and that's all, and that's your brother and your sister. So you think that attributed to it, and then what do you think contributed to it even more? That you were able to mesh as a family to the point that to this day you guys are like regular siblings, where you've been told that you're closer than so-called blood siblings at times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I'd have to say, honestly, the age. Like, all of our ages were, we were all, like, around the same age. We all had the same interests, whether it was sports or everything else. But, I mean, that was probably the main thing that got us. Like, once we broke out of that shell of, like, oh, who's this kid, blah, 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 coming in, you know. But now it's like we look at it like, you know, this, we're, you know, it's family. And we all get along now, you know, we've had our little arguments in the past. We've had our squabbles, but I mean, like I said, that's how you know your family, because you know if you were to get into an argument, like, and it wouldn't faze you, like it wouldn't bother you, then you'd know, okay, well, you're not family. But for your sister or your brother to cuss you out over something or other, and then for it to like really hit home and like sit in you, like, dang, like, you know. Yeah, you know, maybe I did upset him, and well, you know, I want to talk to him about it and work it out. Then that's how you know that you're family. That's how you know it's true family. You know, blood, like they do say, blood is thicker than water. But one thing that I've come to find out in life, and that what I'm sure like other families that have been in divorce situations and stepbrothers and sisters and stuff like that, they can probably agree with me saying that when you get into that aspect, you just kind of like, I don't know, you form and you realize that, okay, you know, there's that is my family. The family, the true family, is the ones that's always been there, the ones that will have your back through thick and thin, and the ones who, you know, talk crap to you and talk crap about you. So, you know, and show the love, and whether it's, you know, tough love or, you know, the emotional love. So.
Now, you've also picked up other family members along the way. I mean, you've got friends from high school that a couple of them actually live with you guys, and it's like the United Nations. Can you share a little bit about that concept too?
Right. My main thing, like, and I tell people like, oh, you know, who's your friend, this and that. And honestly, like, with me, my friends are my family. Like, I really don't have them, and I don't have a best friend. I don't have, like, my friends are my family, and they don't necessarily have to be, you know, typically, like, you know, technically my family, but I've had friends from high school that I've known for years, almost 15 years now, and that I consider them family now because, mm-hmm. you know, they've been around for so long. Even one of my buddies, he lived with us for about a year and a half. He had some family issues, so he ended up coming living with us for a while. He's actually now married, living on his own,
right.
Doing his thing.
Got it,
dude. Yeah, and actually, I was talking to him last night on Facebook. He's doing
we
his,
just like all up his business on air.
And he's doing his thing, having a few beers, you know, venting to me about his married life.
Just a couple, right? Gotcha.
Yeah,
just a couple.
But yeah, I mean, my thing is like, I had a selected like probably about a handful of friends. I mean, I was friendly with everybody in school, in high school and stuff. But I had a select, you know, core friends that I was always hanging with, and they're the ones that, like, you know, until this day, like, I still hang with. You know, we'll go out sometimes every now and then, catch up and stuff. And I don't know, you know, it's part of life. You know, when you go out, you know, you move away, and that's what life is. I mean, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see your friends go, but you do want to see them strive and you know, being successful and doing their thing. So, I mean, with us, it was...
Now, another thing that was very common with you guys, that someone that was good friends with you would also eventually become good friends with one of your brothers or one of your sisters, because I know, for example, Kevin is really good friends with Jose. Now he's friends with you and Eric. And do you want to elaborate a little bit on that pattern of being able to incorporate your brothers and sisters' friends into your life?
Right. My brother's friend, Kevin, or OT, we call him, that's a nickname. He was in school with them, with Jose and Christina. But like you know, Charlie was saying that, you know, when you come around, that's his friends, but he also brings around us. So like we became friends with them, and now he's like, Kevin, you know, he's a great friend of mine. I talk to him every now and then. I was actually hanging with him Saturday night. We're watching the Mayweather fight there. But yeah, I mean, like, the same thing with us. Like, we've had friends that we brought, and, like, now our friends are friends with them. And it's, like, a whole, you know, networking thing that you kind of just, I mean, you can incorporate it into the professional world, business life. But it all starts, like, you know, at home first. You know, you want to, you know, incorporate the whole family values, the whole core thing, or the, you know, responsibility and just being in that aspect. But, I mean, then once you have it there, it's your family cores, and then, you know, you're dealing with your friends and family and stuff like that. Then you incorporate it into the rest of the world and into the rest of life, and it makes it that much easier, that much flows a lot more.
So now your family, I got remarried, we got together, we did all of this, and we're progressing and going on. So I guess our listeners might want to know a little bit about me. So why don't you take the mantle and ask me some questions and see what we can share with our listeners?
Well, all right. You actually, well, why don't we just touch on your professional background? I obviously know what you did, but and I'm not talking about Taco Maker back in the day.
We all had to start somewhere.
What was your main profession?
Main profession is I got married young, had my oldest son when I was 17, so obviously dropped out of school, got my GED, became a medical assistant, and actually I became a police officer. Went into the Metropolitan Police Academy, and wind up being the first and only female, actually, at that time, on the SWAT team. So I was on the SWAT team for 6 years, and then one of our governors decided that he thought it would save money, I don't know how, and wind up putting four of our state agencies together. So the Metropolitan Police, Capitol Police, Registry, and State Police all got merged together into one police department back in 92. And from there, I wind up being put into the homicide division. I did undercover work. Yeah, a bit of everything.
Yeah, and you also, didn't you also do doing homicide? Weren't you also narcotics as well?
Yes, I did narcotics because I didn't look like a cop, which is kind of funny because you touched a little bit on the acting that, hey, everybody and their mother wants to be an actor, but I have been doing some of that acting. And one of the things I get in a lot of casting calls when I first walk in is, hey, you don't look like a cop. And, yeah, that's why I was very successful at undercover work and narcotics. And, yeah, I did do that for a few years.
Right, right. Didn't you also do a prostitution thing before?
Oh, my goodness. This is a family show.
Not to, you know, but and just to touch on it real quick, I used to tell my mother, I was younger then, but I remember seeing her get all dressed up because she had to go do the sting operations there. And I used to tell her, Mom, you don't, and I'm like, you know, 10, 11 years old. I'm like, Mom, you don't look like no Boston Chinatown, you know, prostitute. You need to down a little bit. But yeah, no, she's definitely, she's done it all. From you know, she's done, you know, narcotics, she's done homicide, SWAT team. Actually, didn't you register? Didn't you do the road test?
Yes,
for a while?
I did the road test.
Which
now
I would say was more dangerous than any other narcotics.
Oh, goodness. That was more dangerous than the SWAT team and undercover and anything else combined. I think my first day at the registry, I had this cute little 16-year-old girl, sweet as a button, and she wanted to take a left in front of a tractor-trailer unit, and she just didn't understand why I reached over and pulled the steering wheel and to keep going straight. And I'm like, she's like, why did you do that? I wanted to go left. I'm like, did you not see the truck? She goes, but I wanted to go left.
Which goes to tell you that not everybody should have a license. We'll leave that up to
the new registry, because now they got civilians doing it. God love them. I don't know how they do it. I swear I did that for, 2 years before I took an early retirement, and I just couldn't believe it. It was, like, very dangerous, very scary.
Right. Now, touching up on your early retirement there, you did retire early from the state police. You did get your fake gold watch and your
fake gold watch. I didn't even get my watch. I want my watch.
And
I got my badge, though. And my picture with the superintendent. That was it. I'm still waiting for my watch.
Now, we as your family, we kind of mess with you because you've probably done, God, who only knows like how many different professions. But what were some of the professions you did after you left the state police?
Oh, man, I was a community organizer. I was a career specialist, a criminal justice instructor. I did promotions. I did web design. I did a little bit of everything, and now I'm acting. Well, I've actually been trying to get into the acting for a while, and now I've been doing it full-time for a year, and it's been going amazing. So, yeah, it's going good. It's going real good.
What were some of the films that you've been doing recently? I know you, because you've been doing it more so than I have in recent years, but you actually got some background roles. And you're a SAG member as well, which those that don't know, it's a Student Actors Guild.
Yes, I was lucky enough. Actually, like I said, I've been very blessed. My first project, which was funny because Chris was the one that went for an audition and I was the one that walked out with a part. I worked on the Mel Gibson movie, Edge of Darkness. I actually got to be a recurring extra on that dress as a police officer. And I also got to be able to do the driving, some of the precision driving, because I had experience as a state trooper driving and not crashing and being able to go in a straight line. I also got to work on Zookeeper. I worked on, you know, the grown-ups. I did a couple of days on The Fighter. That was cool, about Mark Wahlberg doing the life story of Mickey Ward, which we'll talk about a little more at some of the other shows. And Wichita with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And, you know, we don't talk too much about it, and you know, in respect to the production and stuff, but it's been fun. I mean, I have to say this, though, the crew that work there are amazing. The production assistants are friendly. They're courteous. They know what they're doing. And it's been one of the – I've worked on a lot of fun sets, but that's been a really amazing set just because of their demeanor. It's been good. And they just started – that production just started a week ago. So hopefully there'll be a lot more work to be had. And, yeah, so it's been interesting. And I'm also waiting. I'm just supposed to get a couple of days on the town with Ben Affleck, so we'll see what happens there.
That's good. That's good. And I noticed, like now, like we talked about it earlier, that Massachusetts is trying to be like it's like going to be a mini Hollywood, pretty much, and they're actually
Hollywood
East.
Yeah, that's
Hollywood
where it's
East.
Going. That's definitely mm-hmm. where it's going. We got a full line studio that actually artists are already moving into. It's Plymouth Studios, The Rock. Another plug because it's a great project. It should be fully online by 2011. It's going to have full sound stages, facades of different cities and towns. It's going to have a visitor center, tours, hotels. Everything's going to be self-contained in there. And it's actually going to have a lot of the similarities to the Paramount and MGM and that back out in Hollywood. So, yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of productions coming out here in Massachusetts in the next couple of months and couple of years.
That's awesome.
So it'll be interesting. So we're down to 5 minutes, and I actually got an email. They wanted to know what are some of the things that you would share, Alex, as far as you said earlier about keeping your dreams going and stuff.
My dreams. Wow. My dreams, honestly, I'm not going to lie. When I was younger, you know, like I said, soccer was my main sport, and I did have aspirations of becoming a professional soccer player. But as you get older, you kind of, I'm not going to say give up on your dreams, but you kind of get a rude awakening, kind of. You get, you know, you move out on your own, you get kind of get a kick in the butt from, you know, real life. And, you know, so now I still, you know, play soccer on, you know, semi-pro teams and stuff like that. But right now my main goal is I do want to focus on being a criminal psychologist. That's always been, like, my
mm-hmm.
aspect. Like, I mean, I am a people person. I'm very intuitive. I'm very observant. But it's not just normal people aren't interesting at all. I'm sorry.
That's why we have fun, because everybody's crazy in our family.
Exactly. Normality isn't interesting, but it's the abnormality, the criminal aspect of their mind and their what makes them tick or what doesn't make them tick that interests
right.
me, and that's kind of what I want to focus on. So right now I'm getting back into school on top of working part full time. As a private security. But, yeah, I'd say that would be my ultimate goal. I mean, thinking way, way, way outside the box, I wouldn't mind working for one of our very special alphabet groups, you know, CIA, FBI, you know, something like that.
Something like that.
But, you know, if that doesn't happen, why not, you know, go to some college, some university and teaching, you know, criminology or, you know, getting my teacher degree as well as, you know, my bachelor's in criminal justice and my master's in psychology, and then, you know, maybe teach criminology somewhere.
That's awesome. So that is actually our first show. It flew by. We got to talking. Now, one of the things that we want to remind our listeners about is that our show is going to focus on the positive. We want to show you that, like Alex said, normal people are boring, and not in a bad way. I'm just saying that Everybody does things in their lives. I don't care if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that you make for your son and you cut the edges off and you make it look pretty. That is something that they will remember for the rest of their lives. That makes us feel special. And those are the things that add up to make an extraordinary life. And that's the focus, right, Alex? That's what we want to do.
Definitely.
So thank you for being with me and putting up with my many venues and adventures. I just got the voice in my ear telling me I got 90 seconds. So next time on the show, we're actually going to read some letters that we've received on questions on my blog. So remember, www.ordinarywoman.com, or you can check me up on Twitter, too, Ordinary Woman. Just look it up, WMN. For any comments, questions, or concerns. And I am so glad that you were able to join us, Alex. I'm hoping you'll
come back.
Maybe I can talk you into being my co-host.
Sure, why not?
So for our listeners, thank you very much for tuning in, and we look forward to hearing from you next time. And until then, keep it positive, keep dreaming, and don't you ever let anybody tell you what you can accomplish in life. Good night, and have a great one.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. your boy's sacrifice. The wait is finally over. It's getting hot in here. I'm burning, baby. Come on, man. Stand up, everybody. Feel me. CPR in the building. Struck by a music group in the building. This ain't a fucking game no more, man. Sacrifice. Yeah. Cardiac, where you at? Kid Magic. Tragic knowledge. Sissu. Santo. What's up? Walk with me. Feel what I gotta say. From the moment I was born, I was destined for greatness. Learned a lesson through these weapons with the testament.